Welcome to JGL Law for You. This podcast is sponsored by Joseph Greenwald & Lake, a suburban Maryland law firm that has been representing clients throughout the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area and across the country for close to 50 years. JGL Law for You is a podcast by lawyers, yes, but not for lawyers only. On JGL Law for You, we will bring you up close and personal with our lawyers and some special guests who will be discussing how to navigate the many legal processes, developments in the law, other current events, and how they may affect you, your family, or your business. Today, we're talking in the area of family law, specifically, how, if at all, will your divorce be affected by COVID? To weigh in today, we have two of our lawyers, Lindsay Parvis, who has been advocating for clients in family legal matters since 2002. She represents spouses in divorce and parents and children in complex custody and parenting matters. Lindsay also works with couples to resolve disputes as a mediator, and she facilitates co-parenting as a parent coordinator. Stephen Friedman is also here today. He's a senior principal in JGL's family law group. His 46 years of experience in representing clients in complex and contested divorce and custody cases have given him an unmatched perspective for helping his clients formulate reasonable expectations while never losing focus on his basic function. And that, Steve says, is to solve a problem through creative settlements that protect his clients' interests without the expense and unpredictability of protracted courtroom battles. Welcome, Lindsay and Steve. Glad to have you here today.
Thank you. It's a pleasure.
So, Steve, let's kick this off with you a little bit. Courts have been closed. People have been working from home. And now things are starting to open slowly again. Have you seen the virus, the COVID situation, impact what goes on with your clients and in your cases?
I believe that the COVID closing of the court system has caused a tremendous impact on family law litigants. Probably the greatest factor is stress. Every client tells me that this is the most stressful event of their life. There's probably only one thing that's more stressful than going through a divorce. And the COVID closure of the court system, I think, has put stress on steroids and has really impacted clients. And it's really the result of three factors. The first one is that you do not get a timely response from the court system in your family law case. And access to the court system is one thing that generally causes people to mediate or moderate their misbehavior because they know that the other side has access to a judge and they're not going to look good. The lawyers have used the lack of access to the court system tactically to starve clients out, to take custody of kids, and it's very, very difficult to get relief from the court system.
So when you say starve clients out or kids away from parents, what do you mean functionally? What does that look like?
What happens is if one parent is working and the other isn't, just cut off all finances. And everyone knows that one of the most stressful things about COVID is the insecurity about finances, your job. That is used tactically by lawyers and litigants in family law cases to affect the other side. One parent can take the children and go to his parents' house or her parents' house where it's trespassing if the other parent tries to retrieve their kids. And it can take 3 or 4 months to get relief from a court system that's been closed. Now, it is reopening and there's going to be access, but every county is so backed up. Thousands of cases have been backed up that have to be addressed. And in getting access to a judge is difficult.
So let me ask you this. And Lindsay, you feel free to weigh in here, too. So one of you two or both you two are representing me, and my spouse won't let me see my kids. I haven't seen them in 2-3 weeks or maybe even months, given the present set of circumstances. I call you. I need you to help me see my kids. What are you going to do? What can you do to help me see my children?
You want to weigh in, Lindsay?
Sure thing. Well, one of the things we look at is whether or not attorney intervention alone will help change the situation. If that's not going to work, then we have to explore more aggressive approaches like filing in court if there's not an existing court case and looking at will it be effective to try to seek emergency relief, try to have this issue heard on an emergency and pressing basis?
Let me ask you about that, Lindsay. When you say emergency, what is does that mean the same thing to judges across the board, or is it can it mean different things to different judges? And if so, you know, what do you do to try to convince a particular judge that my situation is an emergency that will enable you to get in front of the court?
Sure. Well, it definitely means different things to different judges and in different counties. And it's a tough area for sure. And so part of it is trying, if you're going to pursue an emergency motion, trying to put out specific facts that demonstrate the irreparable harm that will be done to a child or a parent-child relationship from the denial of parenting time. But the impact of COVID on how courts are looking at families is real. You know, I think the courts are comparing life and death of COVID against what prior to COVID they might have thought was an emergency situation and been more open to. So it's a bit of a tough environment, but trying to navigate that without an attorney, I think, is much harder. That's a bigger uphill battle than talking with an attorney about it, trying to identify the best way to present it to the court, if presenting it to the court on an emergency basis makes sense. And if that doesn't make sense, then pursuing other options that might unlock that denial of parenting time and access.
So let's talk a little bit about that. When you say other options, what is it that you're suggesting or referring to?
So looking at things like mediation. Now, mediation requires people to voluntarily participate and participate in good faith. But I think having the experience of having two parents or two spouses meet with a mediator, with or without their attorneys, and have the opportunity to be heard by a mediator, and have this mediator, who's a neutral person, there to help facilitate a settlement discussion, I think being heard is so important in these cases. And I think a lot of times parents and spouses just feel like nobody's listening. And sometimes having that experience of having someone listen and then take the next step to facilitate a settlement discussion may be the thing that unlocks it. But there are alternatives that I think are not explored as often, but right now are great opportunities, like arbitration, which is similar to a litigation process, except the parties are picking the person who's going to act as the arbitrator. They set the timeline, and this can happen on a much more expedited basis. There are some nuances around its effectiveness in custody and kind of how it can be used effectively in custody, but certainly on pressing financial issues, that's a great option.
The difference there is, correct me if I'm wrong, the mediator, someone sort of helps these folks reach a resolution, whereas the arbitrator almost makes a decision, serves in the place of the judge, right? Makes a decision that's binding on the parties, assuming they've agreed to do that?
That's right. And Steve can speak to that. Steve?
Binding arbitration is a tremendous solution. You literally can pick your judge. And there's a whole cadre of retired judges, several of whom are excellent, where the parties can agree to literally try the case in front of the judge, the retired judge. The problem, though, in custody cases, the court, and there's case law on point, and only a circuit court sitting judge can make a decision on custody. Now, some of these retired judges are sitting on a daily basis, on a per diem basis for various counties. And one way that I'm actually trying to do right now is to get a retired judge to be appointed by the circuit court for the purpose of doing this arbitration case. And I've tried to use that to get around the law that only a sitting circuit court judge can make a custody ruling.
And does that require both sides to agree to that type of an arbitration procedure?
Yeah, both parties have to stipulate. And you can stipulate the rules. But one point that was talked about before was getting access in custody cases. What, and you asked the question, it's what is an emergency? Montgomery County, for instance, has long had a rule that unless it's life and death, it's not an emergency. Just denial of access doesn't qualify. Prince George's, and a lot of it depends what judge hears it. Some judges take a different view, but like in Howard County, with what's going on right now, if somebody grabs the kids and is holding them and not giving any access, and you file an emergency motion, the family law coordinator will take it to the administrative judge, who will get the attorneys on the phone and want to know what's going on. That is a great deterrent to have to deal with an angry sitting judge that is being forced to deal with this. And it's generally nonsense. So you better have a good reason in Howard County. In Prince George's County, it's another matter still. But a lot of it, when you talk to a lawyer, you need to make sure they understand what the criteria are in various counties.
Is the bar, do you see that bar for what meets an emergency, has it changed at all under the auspices of the virus situation?
In Howard County, it has. They want people to act reasonably. And if they're not acting reasonably, want to put a mechanism in place to force it. I've had to file two emergency motions in Howard County that got resolved because there was a threat to get the administrative judge on the phone. And that was all that was needed.
Interesting. Now, there's a lot of people who, and rightfully so, they're scared. They don't want to go out of their house. They don't want to go to the grocery store, much less walk into a courthouse or go to a lawyer's office. So how do these things get heard if people don't want to go to the courthouse? Is there any other way in which the courts are hearing these types of cases?
They're doing it remotely. Sometimes the judge will get the attorneys on the phone. In that type of situation, they would probably do it remotely and hear, and so that they can look at each side and try and make a reasonable call. But I haven't had it happen. The threat of having it happen resolved the problem.
Okay. And what about trials, cases folks that might have been in the midst of a divorce? Lindsay, again, feel free to jump in. That might have been in the midst of a divorce prior to March when things shut down, and their case is scheduled for trial in September, October. Are the courts actually hearing cases in the courtroom? Are they doing those remotely as well?
Well, it all depends. I've seen a lot of different things. First of all, existing cases have been pushed out. I've had cases pushed as early as this fall, but definitely into next year, January, and even next summer, June of 2021. So that, of course, not only makes the litigation longer and creates a longer opportunity for the conflict to continue, but I think it's also encouraging people to look at alternatives to waiting for a litigated result. But then indeed, there have been cases that have gone forward with virtual hearings and virtual trials. Domestic violence protective order cases, for example, had been moving forward to a degree, and they are among some of the earliest cases to return to the courthouse. And then also uncontested cases, we've seen such an advance in terms of the technology and ease of accessibility in that area, where cases that traditionally everybody had to go to the courthouse for in order to get the uncontested divorce, which really is like a 10-minute hearing, and you spend more time waiting at the courthouse just to have your case heard. Now, those are being done virtually. My cases have been handled by video, but then also on the scheduling end, I've seen some of them, when it comes to scheduling hearings and cases starting out, they're even doing by telephone. And that's saving tremendous time and money for families from taking off from work, for example, and if they're represented by counsel, from having to pay them. But contested trials, the court hasn't been too keen on having a lot of trials going forward by video, because it really is pretty tough to assess the credibility of witnesses over video, and then just the logistics over exhibits. So they've only just started really opening the courthouse doors physically to the public starting July 20th. So it's really moving and changing on a daily basis as to what the courts are doing and how, even though there is a plan for what they're intending to do.
All right. So let me ask each of you, or let me ask you both, if you could give two or three pieces of advice, a couple of tips to someone who is considering looking at separating, looking at divorce during this time period, what would each of you tell that person to do?
The best advice I would give somebody is to get a lawyer. And it doesn't necessarily mean to make the lawyer visible, but you should hire a lawyer. And there's a big difference between hiring a lawyer and having a consultation. If you hire a lawyer, that lawyer is responsible for you and responsible for your case. And when the lawyer gives you advice, there's a responsibility that they're going to have to live with the advice they give you. A consult, you get off-the-cuff advice, and it's different. If you hire a lawyer early, the idea is not to file anything. The idea is to, number one, reduce your stress level. And if you hire the right lawyer and you have an open line of communication, it literally will decrease your stress. It'll make you smarter, and you can take all kinds of precautions to protect yourself. Protecting assets and protecting liability, and to do it in a reasonable way. One other thing, you need to position yourself during this delay so that you don't need the court, so that your assets are protected, your liabilities protected, and you're not in the situation where you need access to the court on an emergency basis.
All right. Lindsay?
Well, right now is a prime time to plan and prepare. So gather information, as Steve is talking about, talk with an attorney in order to develop a strategy around, is our marriage ending? And if so, what information should I gather? What steps should I take? And what planning should I do? And if you're on the fence about it and you don't know, you can still talk with an attorney around doing those things so that you at least have the information so you can weigh it against other options. I also think right now is also a good time to think outside the box and think about how to get from the current situation that a client may find themselves in to the desired outcome that they want, recognizing that the court may not be quite as helpful and available as it has been, or that it will be on a much more delayed basis, and then weigh that timeline against the client's priorities, needs, and goals to try to see if there are other avenues that might help move the situation forward and help them get better peace of mind.
Great. Thank you guys both very much. So if someone who's listening today wants to reach out to either of you, take a quick minute. Let's start with you, Lindsay, and let folks know the best way to reach you.
Well, I can be reached in all the same ways that I could be before COVID. So you can connect to me through my office, which an office number, which is 240-399-7900. Also through my email, which you can get to on our website, which is probably the best way to get information, our contact information, and also learn more through our blogs about these topics. And that website is GGLLAW.com.
Great. And Steve, what's the best way for someone to try to reach out to you?
The best way to reach me, I believe in verbal communication as opposed to practicing law by email. So if somebody just calls our office, my secretary will clear conflicts and set up a 1-hour phone appointment. And I'm happy to talk to people whether they're going to hire me or not.
And that's the number there is 301-220-2200. All right. Well, thanks to both of you for joining us today. I'm David Bullitt. Please join us next time on JGL Law for You.